Have you ever thought about your breathing and how important your breathing is? I wanted to talk a little bit about breathing. Breathing is such an important part of our life, yet we often don't do it consciously, and it ends up being more of a part of our lives that doesn't aid us in being better or recovering, but instead it brings out the anxiety or the challenges because of our shallow breathing or inabilities to be aware of how powerful it is. We underappreciate it given that we take over 20,000 breaths per day and our body changes shape throughout the breath cycle. Meaning that whenever we do movement or we work on our posture, our breath would be a part of that. Addressing the breath from my experience is one of the biggest factors to helping create change in movement, flexibility, also helping us to connect the mind-body connection and neuropathways, decreasing nerve pain and helping with the posture as well. We can look at the symptom of the issue, like if your shoulder or back hurts. We can often target those spaces with exercises temporarily, but we're not really addressing the root issue. What we need to do is address everything in the body when we are doing corrective issues and in our tissues. We need to make sure that we understand not just movement and how we do movement, but how the breath connects to movement is so important, and how joints operate and how joints and below the areas of pain operate, etc. Breathing involves many joints at both the rib cage and the pelvis. If you cannot breathe well, your skeleton is likely to have a bias on the inhalation and exhalation. Being stuck in a given orientation of joint actions can restrict other ones, and that results in a cascading issue in your structure. And being stressed over time can cause injury because your body will be out of alignment. If we look a little bit deeper into the anatomy of breathing, we have two phases of breathing, the inhalation and exhalation. The primary muscle of inhalation is the diaphragm. The diaphragm is a dome-like structure below the lungs. When we inhale, the diaphragm descends in the thoracic cavity and assists in drawing in air to the lungs. Upon exhalation, the diaphragm should ascend back into its resting position. This should occur without too much involvement from the accessory respiration musculature, like the scalenes, sternal mascloid, pec minor. A lot of the time what happens though when we have poor breathing is that we tend to involve these muscles, and these muscles can link into shoulder and neck pain and other issues. Actually, many people you will notice can't actually breathe without isolating their neck muscles not to be active. A lot of the time this is all linked because we have the weight of the world on our shoulders with the stress and anxiety as well. The abdominals, specifically the external intercostals, are muscles of exhalation. The obliques and transverse abdominis muscles are involved upon more forced exhalation. If we look at the biomechanics of a breath cycle, the rib cage and pelvis will be the primary structures that we look at. The rib cage has two types of ribs, the upper ribs, 2 to 7, and the lower ribs, 8 to 12. When we inhale, the ribs swing out into external rotation. And when we inhale, the ribs come downward into the internal rotation. And often undervalued role of the rib cage is breathing, is the ability to expand the posterior medicinal cavity, which is the back portion of the thoracic cavity. If you look at the picture of a normal human curve, there is a degree of natural thoracic flexion. This is necessary to maintain because it allows the expansion of this back area and the scapula to glide freely on the back of the rib cage. This area should expand upon inhalation via the ability to maintain a zone of opposition, ZOA, while the ribs should externally rotate and lift up upon inhalation. The lower ribs should not excessively flare up upwards. The idea behind the ZOA is that the opposition created by maintaining it allows air to follow the path of least resistance in the ribcage as opposed to the belly. And a classic sign of ZOA is chronically flared lower ribcage at rest, which I notice a lot of people have, including myself. Our pelvis is also involved in breathing. Upon inhalation, the pelvis moves along with the rib cage into exhalation and widens out, lowering the pelvic floor as our guts descend. The inverse occurs during exhalation. If we look at the physiology of breathing, breathing during rest and low intensity movement should occur through the nose. Nose breathing poses approximately 50% more resistance to the airstream as compared to mouth breathing. This results in a 10 to 20% more oxygen uptake. The exchange of gases, oxygen and carbon dioxide, O2 and CO2, between the alveoli and the blood occurs by simple diffusion, the O2 diffusing from the alveoli into the blood and the CO2 from the blood into the alveoli. Diffusion requires concentration gradient. So the concentration or pressure of the O2 in the alveoli must be kept at a higher level than in the blood, and the concentration or pressure of the CO2 in the alveoli must be kept at a lower level than in the blood. We do this, of course, by breathing continuously, bringing fresh air with lots of O2 and little CO2. Into the lungs and the alveoli. Now we're touching on probably my favorite part about it, which is the most important part that's usually untapped, and it's the nervous system's role in breathing. Although gas exchange takes place in the lungs, the respiratory system is controlled by the central nervous system. While we do have some voluntary control of breathing, it is regulated automatically and functions whether we think about it or not. The portions of the CNS, the central nervous system that control respiration, are located within the brainstem, specifically within the pons and the medulla. These components are responsible for the nerve impulses which are transmitted via the phrenic and other motor nerves to the diaphragm and the intercostal muscles, controlling our basic breathing rhythm. We have two primary branches of the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic fight or flight and the parasympathetic rest and digest. When we exercise or are at threat, it's sensed by the brain, we enter a more sympathetic state. When we are at rest and the body is undergoing repair, digestion, or a variety of other processes, we are more of the parasympathetic state. Shallow, short breathing is associated with sympathetic response, while slow, controlled breathing is associated more with a parasympathetic response. If we cannot breathe well due to lack of ribcage expansion, we could potentially be biased towards a chronic sympathetic nervous system response in our system. And this is very dangerous in the sense that we will then have a more stressed state of being, and that means that our posture is more likely to be rounded. Or when we do exercises, because we're not reminding our body that we are safe in these spaces, they're not able to be wired in as well to the nervous system and to be told they're safe. So you're not getting as much uptake in the system to respond to them as well. Common giveaways of poor breathing is anterior pelvis tilt, a flared lower rib cage, a flat thoracic spine restricting posterior rib cage expansion, chronic belly breathing, chronic tension in the neck due to poor diaphragmic function, placing accessory inhalation musculature under increased stress, potentially chronic anxiety. So this is just something to be aware of. I know when I got injured recently, I actually was very aware of this, and I wasn't aware of this until then. I also noted that my shoulders and my neck muscles and my sternomastoid, all of these were switched on far more than most other people, and I was told that they were extremely tight. So by working on a regular basis with breath work and also exercises in general with breath work, it's making a huge difference for me to be able to learn to breathe properly, to decrease the anxiety in my body, but also to increase the uptake of efficient exercises to help my body to be more sound. Now, a quick way to find how to breathe properly is to simply place your tongue to the top of your mouth, close your mouth, and you inhale for 6, keeping your shoulders down, your neck relaxed. Once you get to the top, you can hold and pause for a moment, and then you open your mouth and you'll sigh out silently. And that will still be all relaxed in your body for around 6, and then you'll pause for a moment, and then you'll start the cycle again. This, even just by doing it a few times a day, you're going to notice a huge difference in your body and how it feels in the stress. So think about your breathing next time you're exercising or doing things, next time you're thinking about your posture, anxiety, and see how this starts to relate. Remember that sometimes we're not getting effective flexibility because we aren't allowing our nervous system to know that we are safe at end range. That is why breathing is so important when it comes to yoga, contortion, arm balancing, and things of that nature. I'll see you next time. Stay tuned. Have a great day. Namaste.